Methodist Church, the Methodist Church originated. It's called a covenant service. And what this actually is, it's about kind of choosing again to follow after Jesus. It's again about choosing to kind of say, yeah, I'm going to follow you this year, Lord. And so that's what we're going to do. We've got a little thing that we go through, and the elders are going to come out in a second. And it's kind of saying, Lord, I'm going to covenant myself to follow after you. Now, obviously, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. That's up to you. So don't kind of join in with this. Don't just say it because it's there to be said. But it is something where we can, like I say, use it as a prayer. Use it to kind of a thing of following after Jesus. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I've decided to follow Jesus. So I'm just going to have a look at the some things about what is a covenant, because it's something you might not have come across before, you might not have heard of. But like I say, this comes from the Methodist Church. And a covenant is a pact, it's an agreement, it's a bond, it's a strong kind of binding thing that people make between themselves. It's a covenant of something that is very strong, really. It was initially in the Old Testament when people made a covenant together, they made a covenant with blood. So if two people are going to go into a covenant together, whether that be a marriage or whether it be a business agreement, what they would do is they would take an animal, they would kill the animal, they would cut the animal in two, which sounds horrible, they would kind of put it on either side, and then they would walk through the middle of the animal, which sounds a bit gross, doesn't it? And kind of to us we think, oh dear, I don't like the sound of that. But what they were doing is they were making a covenant, if you like, in blood. They were kind of saying, this is a binding agreement, a blood agreement between us. It's a very strong kind of thing. An example is marriage. And it's sealed in scripture with a meal. So when people had done this kind of thing, they would often eat a meal together just to kind of seal that covenant that had been made. And we're going to do the same this morning. You might think, oh, where's the food? But the food is here. It's the bread and the wine. The meal that Jesus gave us is part of this thing this morning. It's kind of saying, I'm going to eat with you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to eat what you've done for me, Lord Jesus. I'm going to take in what you've won for me on the cross. So this is part of this covenant this morning. There are five great biblical covenants between God and people. God made covenants with people. So let's just have a look at what these five great covenants have been. So there's a covenant between God and Noah. We know the story, don't we? When the earth was flooded and God gave this covenant to Noah and he said, I'm not going to do that again. And the covenant that I'm going to make, I'm going to put this rainbow in the sky as a little kind of sealing of that covenant there. Then this wonderful covenant between God and Abraham, where God comes to Abraham and he said to him, while he was childless, you're going to have these descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And the sand on the seashore, this great covenant between, and he would have this people, the beginnings of the people of Israel, this covenant between God and Abraham. Then God and Moses, this great covenant between God and Moses, the Ten Commandments, when he goes up the mountain and God gives Moses these great laws, and they make this covenant together there. And God and David, God gives David this great promise, doesn't he? He said, one day you'll have a descendant on the throne, who will be on the throne forever, kind of foretelling of this great one who would come, of his son who would come and sit on the throne of David, born of David's line, as we kind of sometimes say, this great covenant made between. And then this wonderful new covenant that's been made between God and his people, this new covenant where Jesus came to open up a new way, that people might no longer have this priest, but they might be able to get to know God for themselves. That we might not be separated anymore, but by the blood of Jesus we might be drawn back together. This wonderful new covenant. Made for the Gentiles as well, for forgiveness, for knowing God, provision of all that we need in him through the Holy Spirit, and opening the way to heaven. This wonderful new covenant that is worth reflecting on today. These great covenants between God and people. So what we're going to do now is we're going to invite the elders out. We're going to come and go through the covenant. There's bits where we'll speak, but then there's bits where you respond as well. Like I say, use this as a prayer this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. This is a way of kind of saying, Lord, this year I'm going to follow you. Lord, this year I'm going to be your servant. Lord, this year I'm going to be your son or your daughter. And I'm going to get to know you and walk with you right through this year in every way that I can, Lord. So, like I say, it's a serious thing in some ways. And it will be sealed later on with the bread and the wine that we'll eat together. So yeah, I'll just invite the elders to come this morning. And like I said, we'll just take our time going through this. The bit that you want to say, is when it says all. That's where we kind of come in all together. So let us pray. Let us adore the Father, the God of love.
Father, we worship you. Glory be to your name.
Let us glory in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, we love you. You alone are worthy.
Let us rejoice in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come and fill us anew.
Let us humble ourselves and confess our sins to God. Together,
have mercy on me, Lord, and forgive me.
Our Lord Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has made a new covenant with all who trust him. He promises to give us life and grace to live for him. Today, therefore, we remind ourselves of this covenant and offer ourselves afresh to him.
Beloved in Christ, let us claim for ourselves all the blessings and benefits of the new covenant. And at the same time, willingly take upon us the yoke of Christ, which means we are content for him to direct our lives.
Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honor, some bring dishonor. Some suit our natural inclinations and material interests. Some are contrary to both.
In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves.
It's the same, Ash. It's a repeat.
Yet, the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens and enables us. Therefore, let us make this covenant with God our own. Let us give ourselves anew to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace.
Lord God, Holy Father, since you have called us through Christ to share in this gracious covenant, we take upon ourselves with joy the yoke of obedience, and for the love of you, give ourselves to seek and to do your perfect will. We are no longer our own, but yours.
I am no longer my own, but yours. Gladly I embrace your perfect will for my life, whatever it means, having plenty or having little, being exalted or being humbled, knowing joy and knowing sorrow, in any and all circumstances, I will seek to glorify you in and through my life, knowing that you are at work within me to accomplish these things. And now, gracious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And may the covenant now remembered on earth be remembered.
Just like I say, take hold of that covenant, that promise that we made to God there, and just seek to serve him with all your lives through this year. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Like I say, in some senses, it always is a kind of Sunday for setting our course this first Sunday in January. And I've done something this year that I've never kind of done before, really, which is I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I said last year. It's a strange thing. I've never done it before, unless I've been in two churches and then I've had something on my heart and I've shared it in the second church. I've done it then, but never the same thing in the same church. But I was just reminded of it, and I thought, let's go back to where we were at the beginning of last year, just to remind ourselves of what was said then, and also because I think it's still relevant to us today. So this is what it says. I was thinking about, if you remember last year, we started at the beginning of last year with this little picture for us that God was going to do this thing, a change of year. And we're thinking from Acts chapter 13 of when Paul and Barnabas were in the church there, they were praying and they were fasting, if you remember, in that little story. And God said to them, to the other people with them, let's set aside Paul and Barnabas, get them ready, and then send them off on their journey. Get them going out and about on their missionary journey. It was a time to change. It was a time to change gear. It was a time to start anew and afresh. And as I kind of went into last year, that was the kind of thought. And as we've gone through the year, we've actually seen that happen, haven't we? We've seen that change of gear that God was kind of pre-warning us about. We've seen God start to do something and move amongst us in a very special way. So I just wanted to kind of say this morning, you know, that I'm sure that change of gear, we will continue to see that. We'll continue to see God at work amongst us. This is indeed a new season. When you look at that, that's a lovely picture, isn't it? I bet it makes you kind of long for 2 or 3 months' time, when actually that will be the reality that we face, a new season, a spring-type season with the blossoms on the trees. I saw it actually this week as I was driving around, I saw a blossom tree in full blossom. I thought, well, that's a bit early, it's got a bit too soon. But I think it is a new season. I think in some senses for many of us as individuals too, there is a new season, there's a new time. But God has got new things for us as individuals. Take hold of that this today. Take hold of that thing that God has got new things for you. It's an opportune time. It's a time when we can discover new things in God. It's a time when God will use you in ways perhaps that you've never been used before. So take hold of that this morning. An opportune time. As part of what God is doing, as part of that change of gear, God might call you to do new things. So take hold of the opportunity that's there in Jesus. As always, though, when God moves, it's not always easy. It's not. Sometimes I kind of think, you know, it's really nice when we're just kind of nice and settled and things are calm and things are as they always have been, because we know what we're doing then. But when God starts to move and God starts to work and God moves amongst us, then things become a bit more difficult and a bit more uneasy, and we've got to kind of find new places and we've kind of taken into new things, and it's like I say, you suddenly feel a bit unsettled. And that's the truth, isn't it? That as good as growth and as good as a new season, as good as a change of gear is, it's disruptive, exactly that means. So we can do a few things with that, can't we? So let's just think about this. When God moves, it's scary. Yet it's wonderful. Sometimes when God moves, it's scary. We don't quite know what's happening. Have you ever experienced that? When God has done something and you suddenly think, what's going on here? And you've got to kind of weigh it up and think, what's going on, Lord? It's a bit, I'm outside of my comfort zone here. It's new, this, to me. What am I going to do with this, Lord? So sometimes when God moves, it is a bit scary. And yet wonderful. Allow God to take us into places that sometimes are a bit scary. Because he will. As I look forward into this year, some of the challenges that we face, it scares me. It scares me. I think, they're big things. How are we going to be able to do them? And sometimes I kind of wake up in the night and think, oh no! Lord, what are we doing here? But that's okay. That's okay. Suddenly I've calmed myself down a little bit and think, come on, Ash, trust in God. Put your trust in him. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to trust in Jesus. So decide to do that. It's scary yet wonderful. When God moves, it's uncomfortable. He takes us outside of our comfort zones. He stretches us further than we sometimes feel comfortable being stretched. It's uncomfortable to us. It's not easy. And God sometimes calls us to do things that we've never done before. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. God sometimes, as we've said in that covenant bit there, God sometimes asks us to do things that are hard for us. God sometimes asks us to sacrifice. God sometimes asks us to step into situations where they are difficult. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. And yet it's life. There's life in it. You know, there's a flow of life that comes from God, isn't there, that kind of helps you through these things. So like I said, be ready for these things. When God moves, it's disruptive. It's messy. We have messy church once a month, but it can be messy as well in normal church. Normal church, in some senses, should be messy. Because we deal with people who are broken sometimes. We deal with change and kind of how we're going to cope with this and what we're going to do next and how we're going to... It's messy. In all sorts of different ways, church can be messy. But that's okay. It always was. You imagine getting up on the day after Pentecost. You imagine being Peter and James and John and the apostles and thinking, we've just had 3,000 people join our church. What are we going to do today? How are we going to solve this thing? What are we going to do with all these people? Where are we going to meet? How are we going to do it? How are we going to disciple 3,000 new converts? How are we going to do it? It's a mess, but a glorious mess, and God is involved, and God gave them the way through. When God moves, it calls us to risk. It calls us to risk. I don't know if you are a risk taker by nature. I can't see, I don't know, there might be a few skydivers and bungee jumpers amongst us. Probably not many. You might not naturally be a risk-taking person. But God calls us to risk. God calls us, like I say, sometimes to step out and think, Lord, here goes. You know, we're going to be seeking God tonight. What we're going to be seeking him for, what do you want us to do, Lord? When God asks us to do something, then he can take that risk with confidence. Because God is a big God. He's always got it. He's always got it. God calls us to risk. We can have surety in that as well, that God, I mean, you don't just go, you know, jumping off the edge of a cliff thinking, here I am, Lord, whoa, you know, catch me now. It's not like that. It's risk when God asks us to do something, isn't it? Then we can take that risk. When God moves, it costs. It costs. It could have cost us of our time. It's going to cost us our energy. It's going to cost us our money. It's going to cost us of our lives. It really is. It costs. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you're going to invest your life in something, invest it in God's kingdom. Because it's the one thing that will last forever. True, isn't it? You might gain £1 million, but one day you'll not have anything. That's the reality. Invest your life in God's kingdom. When God moves, it does cost. But it's worth it. When God moves, it's challenged. You know, there's kickback. The enemy doesn't like God moving. He doesn't like God working in our lives. He doesn't like us taking ground. He doesn't like us doing new things in God. He doesn't like none of those things. He will try to stop you with all that he's got. It's challenge, but what we can find is that there's a victory in Jesus. When God moves, death to self, like I've already said, it does cost us, it costs us that sense of death and giving our lives to Him. It's very difficult, isn't it? You know, there's a number of times, probably most days, when I think, shall I just not bother? So there's got to be that sense of, no, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow you. You know, sometimes I'd love to be just comfortable. Float through life on a live boat. That would be great, wouldn't it? But there's this sense of death to self that we have to keep on, you know, following after Jesus. But there's a resurrection life as well. There's a God comes in then and fills us with His life. When God moves, lives are changed gloriously. You know, for anybody, and I believe this with all my heart, for anybody God can make a difference. Anybody. In whatever situation, however dark, however desperate, however deep, however terrible things are, God can make a difference. That's good, isn't it? That's the good news. So whoever you meet, God can make a difference and He can change people's lives. And we always remember that as we seek to reach out to Acworth, God can change lives gloriously and wonderfully. We've seen it, we've experienced some of it. God moves, lives are changed gloriously. This was a little verse that we're out of last year now. This was that last year's when I started last year, but this is just some follow-on things that I just feel for this year as well. The little verse in Hebrews, a couple of verses in Hebrews 10, verses 38, verse and 39, and they've come to my mind over these past few weeks and months actually. And it says this. And, but my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Do not shrink back. And there's a couple of pictures. I couldn't find one actually. I had something in my mind for this picture and it didn't really work. So that's called it's something like a faith plant or something like that. It comes out every day and then it goes back every day. It goes to sleep every day. With the light and the darkness, it goes away. And so that's actually shrinking back down again after the day's finished, and it kind of goes back down and it shrinks back. The little thing I had in mind, have you ever seen flowers when they're out full like that? And then they kind of shrink back in that and they go back in. That was what I'm looking for. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a picture of it anywhere. I found a picture of this, of the flower coming out. And the sense I got was, you know, don't shrink back. Sometimes when we're faced with challenges, there's kind of two ways we can go, isn't there? We can kind of run away, or we can, right Lord, I'm going to face this with your help, with your leading me and guiding me through. I'm going to face this, Lord. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to run away, I'm not going to hide, you might do it for a few moments, but then grab hold of yourself and think, no, Lord, I'm not going to shrink back, I'm going to flourish, and I'm going to let this be a point of growth, I'm going to let this be a point of faith, I'm going to let this be a point of expansion, I'm going to let this be a point when you come, Lord, and make new things happen inside of me. So just take those two pictures, like I say, of this thing suddenly flourishing out and growing and expanding and getting bigger. Do not shrink back. When the challenges come to us as a church, I pray, Lord, we don't want to shrink back. We don't want to, you know, fall back and then kind of shrink away and run away. Instead, be that second flower there, Lord. Do not shrink back. And just a little last time, it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Like I say, there's a point along the way. I remember as a young lad, I was 11 years old and going to church for the first time with my mum and dad. And I've probably told you the story before of when I first started going to church, me and our Dave wondered what was going on. I was 11, he was 8. We got took along, we used to, for the first few months, we used to mess about and stuff, and I'll probably tell you about tying each other's laces to the chairs and seeing how far we could look underneath the chairs before falling off, and we fell off as well a few times. That was my early days in church. But my dad, being my dad, wouldn't have that, so he separated us. Right, you sit there, you sit there. Be quiet. And then I had no option but to listen to what the bloke at the front was saying. And as I heard more and more about Jesus, I heard more and more about what he'd done on the cross and how he died for me, I started to respond inside. Something came alive inside of me. Something started to kind of respond to that inside of me. And I was thinking, this is true. This is true. And my dad being my dad as well, I remember on a Sunday night when we come home from the meeting, he used to get in the car, and every week he used to say it, bless him. He used to say, you too. You're going to have to make a decision on this one day. Are you going to follow Jesus or not? Every week. Just say that. Driving home in the car. And I used to think, I do want to make a decision for that. I do want to follow Jesus. And they used to do a thing in church in those days where if you want to become a Christian, then you used to go out to the front of church and they used to pray for you. And you used to commit your life to following after Jesus. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. That was too scary for an 11-year-old to do. But I remember my dad one day in Sunday school, my dad was doing Sunday school, and he said, I'm going to pray now. If you're, any of you all want to become Christians, then just pray after me. And I'm so relieved, you know. I'm the first one in. And others followed. A very simple prayer, basically I've decided to follow Jesus. Just a young lad. I didn't know what it meant. But I started. And sometimes there's a starting point, isn't it? Just to say this morning for anybody here who hasn't decided yet to follow Jesus, step out that road. That's 40 years ago. 40 years of experience, 40 years of following after Jesus. A lot of learning along the way, a lot of mistakes, a lot of mess ups, a lot of not knowing what I was doing, a lot of all sorts of different things. But it's been great. Set the course on a life. I've decided to follow Jesus. Like I say, perhaps for you this morning, say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm going to see where that takes me. And not be disappointed. I have decided to follow Jesus. So make for him the room and the time. Make for him the room and the time in your life. Just, you know, a bit of time in the day, just speak to him. Come and, you know, give him the time, give him some room in your life, invite him in. Says, don't take that famous verse, stand at the door and I knock. It's talking about the door of the heart, I think. If anybody opens the door and lets me in, I'll come in and eat with him, and he with me or she with me. Allow him to change our, and challenge our thinking, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's a constant process, actually. God is constantly at work in our minds, because what you actually find is as your thinking changes, that kind of filters its way down bit by bit into your actions and into your behaviours and into the way that you live. Let them challenge your thinking. Not easy, is it? Sometimes I think, I was reading a little quote this past couple of weeks, by somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it said, sometimes our greatest addiction is to the way that we think. Interesting. We need to have that challenge sometimes, and God can challenge that and change it and make it better in some ways. Allow him to challenge our comfort. Allow him to expand you. God constantly wants to be doing this work of making you bigger, expanding you, of kind of making your heart bigger, of making your influence bigger, of making you kind of expanded, if you like, making you into who you can possibly be. Allow him to take you through growing pains. And if you remember growing pains growing up when you were little, and as you kind of started to grow, and then we got these things called growing pains, didn't we, where your legs started to hurt you and your arms started to hurt you, and you got these things called growing pains. And I suppose there's that kind of thing as well spiritually sometimes. Growing pains. Allow him to take you through those pains of growing. Allow him to take you through challenging times. I'm not going to stand here this morning and say, you know, it's all going to be easy. You know, you're following Jesus, life's going to be a ball, because it really isn't. In some senses, it's a lot harder. That's the reality. But like I say, it's worth it. Allow me. I have decided to follow Jesus. God is at work amongst us, isn't he? God is at work in us individually. Allow him to do these wonderful works inside of our hearts. Tony's already read us this one. It kind of tops and tails our meeting today, if you like. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal. I press on. This year, press on. Press on in following Jesus. Keep going. There's more. There's much more that God has got for us, that God has got for you. So press on. Keep discover what God has got for us all. Just to finish our meeting this morning, Alan, do you want to just quickly share, and then we're going to just...
Just a word that I seem not to share, I'll share with you last week. Just a word that God's brought to me time and time again in the last year. You know the story when Jesus was...
I think we'll have Nick, Alan, come on the front so we can hear you. So everybody turn him back.
They send me out of
here. Sorry.
Sorry. The son of the back and shouted.
But we all want to see you.
Oh, please don't. Six words have sort of gripped me towards the end of last year, and into just over the Christmas period I was thinking about it as well. We're aware of the story when in John chapter 2 Jesus cleansed the temple. He cleared the people out, the moneylenders, the people who shouldn't have been there. And it says in verse 17 of John chapter 2, his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Does the zeal for God's house consume us? Is that what we seek out, to be with God's people? That's part of our relationship with Jesus. Our desire to follow Jesus means that we desire to be in God's house. The zeal for your house will consume. The zeal, the passion, the fervour, the desire will consume me, will overcome me. It's actually a passage from Psalm 69. which I'm not going to read, but there is a place where the zeal of the Lord is spoken about in Isaiah chapter 9. A very well-known verse, 9 verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this, or the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. If we have that zeal in our hearts, the zeal for the Lord, the zeal for his house, the zeal to serve him, there is so much that he will accomplish through us.
Thanks, Alan. This kind of follows on from what we've been saying this morning. So just to finish off this morning, like I say, we've been thinking about that covenant, haven't we, where we decided to follow Jesus. And this, like I say, in Scripture, it was often sealed with a meal. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to take bread and wine again. It's not often we take bread and wine through some days consecutively, but we are doing today. And this is a little meal that Jesus set up with his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. And he took the things that they would often eat, the bread, the wine, and he used it as a little symbol. He said, listen, do this as a remembrance of what I'm going to do for you. He said, look, this bread is like my body. It's going to get broken for you. And that's what Jesus did. His body was broken on the cross. We read in the Scripture, don't we, about him being whipped, about him having that crown of thorns put on his head, and about him willingly doing that. His body was broken because he wants to mend people. He wants to mend people, he wants to put people back together, he wants to bring forgiveness of sins. His blood was shed. And he said, this is my blood. This is a little symbol of my blood that's going to be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And we do know that on the cross Jesus' blood was shed as he died for people. And this little meal is a little remembrance, a little kind of thing where we can come and say, Lord, your death and indeed your resurrection was done for me. And it did what it needed to do for me. You know, my sins are forgiven because of what you've done, Lord Jesus. And I take hold of that today. I take hold of it and I eat and I drink all the benefits of what you've done for me. And the wonderful thing is it opens the way that we can get to know God. It opens the way for us. So that we can kind of know him closely and personally. So the way we're going to do this morning, get a bit different. Last week, we all came and gathered at the front, but we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to do it a little bit different again. Is we're going to move this table back out of the way, so we've got a bit of space at the front. And the elders are going to come, and we just want to pray a shot as we serve you the bread and the wine, and maybe you can come together. But like I say, if you don't want to do this, don't worry. But we'll serve you the bread and wine and just pray for you. That God will bless you in 2020. It will be a year of blessing. It will be a year of his favour. It will be a year of expansion. It will be a year of growth for you and for his church. We're going to pray that for people as well as you come. So like I said, if you want to come, then do that. We'll move this table out of the way. We'll move it back and then the elders will come. And we'll just stand here at the front and just come to any one of us. And we'll just pray a very short prayer of blessing, that God will bless you and use you mightily in this year. Who knows what God will do? I don't know. I don't know. So let's do that.